Good morning, His Tabernacle. Are we ready to worship and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. When I think of your goodness and your loving kindness, and I know your grace is giving me life, giving me life. When I see your favor over me, I'm grateful, and I know my Savior's giving me life, giving me life.
He's giving me life, exceedingly life, abundantly overflowing, overwhelming, more than I could dream. You're giving me life.
Come on, somebody celebrate.
When I think of your goodness and your love, the kindness, and I is giving me life, giving me life. When I see your favor over me, I'm grateful, and I know my Savior's giving me life, giving me life.
He's giving me life, exceedingly life, abundantly
of your goodness and your loving kindness, and I know your grace is giving me life, giving me life.
He's giving me life, exceedingly life, abundantly overflowing, overwhelming, more than I could dream. You're giving me
this morning.
I've got the best life now, living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you.
I've got the best life now, living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive. The best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive.
One more time.
I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive.
He's given me life, exceedingly life, abundantly.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus, we want nothing more than to see you lifted up this morning, God. High above our circumstances, high above our own thoughts, our own desires. Lord, your word says that if you are lifted up, you'll draw all men to you. So, Lord, draw us this morning.
Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see Jesus. Oh, let us see Jesus. Whoa.
Come on, sing that with me.
Sing, let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. And let us see you lifted up like never before.
Let us see Jesus. Oh, let us see Jesus. Oh,
let us see your sacrifice.
Let us see your sacrifice. Let us see you are the light in a dark world. You are our hope. Let us see your sacrifice.
Let us see
you are the light in a dark world. You are our hope. Let us see Jesus. Whoa.
See you,
yeah. High and lifted. Jesus. Whoa. High and lifted up, we want to see you. We want to see you. High and lifted up, we want to see you. We want to see you.
Come on, exalt him.
High and lifted up, we want to see you. We want to see you.
Let us see.
High and lifted up, we want to see you. We want to see you.
Come on, lift him up.
High and lifted up, we want to see. We want to see you. High and lifted up, we want to see you.
Let us see.
Let us see Jesus.
With the Most High God, go ahead and just get your hands up and just tell him how much you desire him right now. Thank you, Father, for giving us access to you, God. You are so precious. You are so wonderful. Hallelujah.
You deserve the glory and the we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles. As we bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no
there is no
There's no one like Jesus, amen?
Amen?
You know, I know some of you are standing there and you're listening to the songs, and some of you are saying, these are new songs. This song's older than you. But I've asked our worship team to do something, and that is I've asked our worship team to start introducing worship songs. And a lot of people don't understand, and so I just want to take a moment, because I know some of you, these are all new, and you're standing there like, man, I really want to worship, but I don't know the songs. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make Jesus all, this whole worship about Jesus. Praise is thanking him for what he's done. And then you have what's called like a transitional song, where your focal point's being aimed back to Christ. But then a worship song is not singing about I want to worship, not singing about we should worship, but worship is singing straight to him. And so we're changing some songs. Is that okay? And I just want to thank the worship team so much, because it's a stretch for them. Not that it's all, but it's different. I've asked Mackenzie to do this. And so you're going to find new songs that are really probably older than you being reintroduced. And songs that we used to sing in the 80s. Some of you weren't even born in the 80s. But there are songs that are just singing straight to him. And I want you to know that worship is so important, because the Holy Spirit's favorite topic is Jesus. Amen. So when you start singing about Jesus, and then you start singing to Jesus, there's a Hebrew word called tehillai. And the word tehillai means, literally, there's not even words that I can sing. He's worshiping through my entire capacity, through who I am. But you can't get to tehillai until you're actually singing to him. So there comes a place where all of a sudden we start singing these worship songs, and you start getting raptured out yourself. What I mean by that, now you're not floating or nothing, but you know, hey, you never know. We are the church of the supernatural. But all of a sudden, you just are lost, just you and Jesus. And then all of a sudden, we step into this next song of worship, and there's not even words to come out of your mouth. Why? Because there's no words that can be sung. You are the worship that he's receiving. And so that's where we're going. Is that okay? I just want to keep you abreast of where we're heading. So I know some of these are new songs. That second one was a new song for me. But man, did you listen to the message? It was all about Jesus. And I'm not interested in singing water songs. Now, some of you don't even know this. Probably about 5 years ago, the worship team got really mad. A few people actually left because of it. And I said, no more water songs. Because we were singing about water. Yeah, we were singing about water. What are you singing about water for? I want to sing about Jesus. Amen? He's the one who changed my life. The water didn't change my life. You know, I want to jump in the river too, but what's the river? You know what I mean? We got to sing about Jesus. And in these last days that we're in the last days. In these last days that we're in, we got to get a hold of Jesus more than we've ever got a hold of Jesus. We can't get into caught up in the religious world of it, which is, we got a bunch of these songs that you're listening to on your radio. They're nice. This one song that irritates the crap out of me. And it's one where it says, he gives and takes away, he gives and takes away. I turn that song right off. It's not Bible. It's not even Bible. It was Job that said that, and Job repented for saying that. It's like, be careful what you're listening to, amen? So be careful, little ears, what you hear. And so what we're doing here is we're bringing new old songs back, and we want to bring back and reinstitute the atmosphere of worship. Is that okay? And some of you don't even know how to do that. And that's okay. You'll grow. You'll learn. Turn to somebody and say, I'll grow into it. Amen. You'll grow into it. On your way back to your chair, can you welcome 5 or 6 folks you don't know? Don't go to the people you do know. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. and we're missing an adapter, so I need to do an introduction to the TV program. How many of you watch His Word TV? How many of you have ever seen His Word TV? Amen. I'd encourage you to invite your friends to watch His Word TV every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on CBS and 9 a.m. on ABC. Are you ready? Ricker, are we good? Okay. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, everybody. We want to welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church. You're watching His Word TV. And my name is Pastor Michael Spencer. You're in the main sanctuary right now. Can they hear you? You're in the main sanctuary on a Sunday morning, and we just are so glad you've tuned in, and we want you to get ready to hear the Word of God that's going to change your life. That's right. God has given you a personal vision in 2020. No, I'm not saying 2020 vision. I'm telling you that we are unstoppable. We are the supernatural church, but you can't be unstoppable if you're not going anywhere. So you need to listen to this message. It's a two-weeker. Make sure you grab your pen and piece of paper, and make sure you tune in next week to finish this telecast. Let's get to the main sanctuary and hear the Word of God. Okay? Okay, we're going to go second now. Are you ready? So when I do the salvation message, you're going to pray with me. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You can't even start with the personal vision that God has for you until you're born again. No, I didn't say go to church. Man, even the devils go to church. It don't mean they're going to heaven. It doesn't mean leaning on your mom and dad's salvation, because it doesn't matter where they are. It matters where you are. And today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, this is where your vision begins, and that is to know God. So today, if you'd like to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to bow your head. I want you to pray right out loud. Come on now, right in front of your television set. Maybe you're at the hospital room. Maybe you're, listen now, someone told me we play this at the airport. Maybe you're at the airport ready to get taken off. You need prayer. Glory to Jesus. Come on now, you need to pray and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you love me. Thank you so much that you died for me. And today I'm making a conscious decision. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess I need a Savior. And right now, I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I receive you as my Lord and King. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, man, that means you're born again. Come on, can you give my hand clap this morning? If you prayed that prayer, we want you to get a hold of the house. You can email us at histab@histabernacle.com. Or what you can do is simply show up this morning, 9 or 11, 16 Level Acres Drive, or in Ithaca, 609 West Clinton Street, 9 and 11, or down Lambs Creek Road in Mansfield, Pennsylvania, at 11. We'll see you in just a little bit.
Hello, everybody. How are we feeling this morning? Are we feeling good? I'm so excited to see everybody. Do we have any guests in the house this morning? If you're a guest, I would just like you to raise your hand. Well, I promise we're not going to embarrass you. We just want to give you a sweet free mug. It is pretty nice. Some of you, I already know, used to don't raise your hand. So just raise your hand up high, keep it up high, and somebody's gonna bring over a mug for you. We are so happy that you are here this morning, and we have a guest reception just for you. If you just wanna go down the hall after service, you'll see a sign that says guest reception. We wanna get connected with you, we wanna get to know you, and we wanna plug you right in. All right, so we have a few announcements for you. Tonight at 6 p.m., mark your calendars, put your reminders on. We have the His Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry Super Bowl Chili Cook-Off. Who likes chili in the house? I love chili. And that's probably the only reason why I would go, because I personally don't like football. Who here is in it just for the food? So that's at 6 p.m. If you would like to make chili and get signed up for that, you can go to the info center right out in the foyer. And then if you would like to just go and partake in some yummy chili, then you can go out there and just buy a ticket to attend. So there's going to be great fellowship, football, food. Come on out, okay? The next thing we have here is our annual business meeting. And that's going to be Sunday, February 16th at 7:45 a.m. If you'd like to RSVP for a light breakfast, then you can also go to the info center out front and sign up. And with that, I would like to turn your attention to the video announcements.
Are you wondering why you're here? Or maybe you're new? Can I tell you the best place for you to start is Growth Track. Every single Sunday morning at 9:30, there's snacks, there's childcare, there's amazing teaching about this church and about yourself that we'd love to have you a part. And what's great about it is it leads into the next thing for you, which could be next steps, including Rock Solid Faith in step 2 and 3, or even into groups. But we'd love to see you as a part of this church, not just sitting, but being a part of the church, which changes everything. Make sure you sign up today for Growth Track next week at 9:30 a.m.
What's up, guys? How are you today? All right, well, Pastor told me I have 2 minutes, so you ready? Put your seatbelts on. We're going to read this quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 10. Now, I'm going to read this, and this isn't a passage I would read to study, but this is more like I'm going to read it because I like how it puts it kind of passage. Ready? Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving. All because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you'll have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him. Because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. The generous God who supplies abundant seed to the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. Man, I love this, because in the rest of my 30 seconds I have left, number one, God loves a joyful giver. God loves a joyful giver. And look, when we give, we're keeping him as our provider, right? It says he gives seed to the sower. So we're keeping him as our provider when we do give. It says that when we do give, we're trusting him with everything. And we don't need to make a deal with the devil to feel secure in this life. When we give, it provides for others. That's what I love about giving to the house. Because, man, last year, over $300,000 in outreach-based ministry. We get to give so we can supply for others. When we give, we walk in obedience to God. And obedience in the scripture always precedes the blessing of God in victory. And last, when we give, we're taking a step of faith. It shows that we trust God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we do give, we're showing that we do have faith and we can please God. Man, I love this because he gives seed to the sower. And he wants to bless us extravagantly above what we've already been able to give. So this morning, I want to challenge and encourage you to be a giver, because when we give, God's intention and his goal is just to give you even more. Today on your seat, you have a giving envelope. I'd encourage you to go ahead and give. If you've never tithed before, it's simply 10% of your earnings, and it's showing God that I trust you and I believe in you, and you are my provider. Here we do it a little bit different. We're not going to shake you down in your seat. We're not going to pass it so everyone looks at you weird. What we're going to do is we bring our offering to the Lord. Why? Because this is an optional thing. This is an offering. This is a sacrifice that I want to lay before God and declare who he is in my life. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet in this place. If you're watching online, you can go to histabernacle.com/give, or you can text to give even right now. But we have a supernatural blessing that we give, and today Bruce is going to share this with you because Bruce is a funny guy. So, guys, let's say this together with Bruce.
You're welcome. I love you.
What's the first one?
If I obey.
I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. My basket. And then we get chased down. And I just got tripped up right in front of you. Because I am a child of God. We are a child of God. Come and give your gifts.
Amen. If you're watching online, this is not the end of the service. Stick with us for the next few minutes as we get right into the Word of God today. We love you.
Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see Jesus. Whoa. Let us see Jesus. Whoa. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see you lifted up like never before. Let us see Jesus. Whoa. Let us see Jesus. Whoa.
Hallelujah. I love seeing Jesus, don't you? I love spending my time in private prayer with God. I think that that's some of the most important times of my life is when I'm able to go to my man cave and just seek Jesus and talk to him and get to know him in a greater manner. This morning, we prepared you last week. We're still receiving offering for the addition. Amen. And so I'm excited. I know many of you have already prepared for this. And if you have not, then we want to give you opportunity. For those who are our guests, this is not about getting more money out of you. This is talking to our family, and we're putting an addition to make your welcome or your visit more palatable. So what we're doing is we're throwing up. Do we have the videos or do we have the pictures? There it is right there. What we're going to do is we're putting an addition on the front. Wherever you see the concrete out front, we're actually enclosing it and making a three-season room. So that when you come, you'll come in through the side doors, because all winter long, that breeze coming down over that hill, dear Jesus, bless us all. I know you know it's true, because many of you will not roll down your window when I'm waving at you in the driveway. I'm in the driveway, remember. And last week, nobody would roll down the window. I had maybe three people. One guy cracked it like this much. Hey, how are you? Yeah, come on now. We're freezing out here. But what happens is the breeze comes right in the foyer and cools the entire foyer down. And we actually spend $2,500 a month for heat and electric here. And so we want to lower that. Can I hear an amen? I'd rather save that money. Can I hear an amen? So it's about a $45,000 addition. Right now, I believe we have a little over $15,000 that folks have given. And we asked if maybe you don't have it now, but you want to pledge it. when you get your taxes back, just write in an envelope, I'm going to give such and such when I get my tax return. And that way we know where we're at and we can start talking and getting things all set. We've been very blessed. Mark Macer, how many of you know Mark Macer? Usually comes to second service. He's an architect and an engineer, and he's designed it all. So we didn't have to pay any of that cost, which is usually very large. And we've been very blessed. Amen? And so I just want to say we're going to have the ushers actually pass. We don't usually do this, but I don't want to take a lot of time because I want to preach this morning. We're going to have the ushers pass the buckets, or what do they call them? Their baskets through the aisles, and this way you can put your offering right in. Now, you have a few moments. You can write out. We want you to make a commitment of some level. If this is your house, then this is what you want to do. Listen, if you want to write the entire thing out, four is F-O-U-R. Actually, F-O-R-T-Y. T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. Amen. You know, whatever God lays on your heart, we don't ever tell anybody what to give in this house. But if this is your home, you want to sow here. Amen. I'm really excited as well. I'm going to go get a picture taken. I saw, as I was praying during my time of fasting and praying this year, I saw me holding the mortgage of this church, and it was burning. And so I'm believing to burn our mortgage this year. I don't know about you. I'm excited about that. And also what we're doing to kick the devil in the teeth and let him know we're not stopping for nobody's reason. We actually just started this Wednesday night, and you can be praying about that. We're getting our building committee together, and we're going to start planning the new building that's going to go out front. I want to remind you that this is the youth facility. Amen? This is where we're going to have a Christian school. This is where we're going to have a youth facility. This is where the kids are going to be raised up. God's going to do great and mighty things. I want to give a phenomenal testimony. I hope you don't mind. We had 12 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ last week at His Tabernacle Family Church. Then we had one young man get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost down at our Mansfield campus on the youth group night. And then 7 more teenagers were born again in this place. And then on Wednesday, we bussed in so many children that they're now telling me we have to add another bus, Pastor. Pastor, we don't have enough buses. We need 3 of them. 2's not going to be good enough. So we're going to add another bus on Wednesdays so that we can bring in more children under the age of 12 to get loved and ministered to. And if you love ministering to kids, that's going to be a great place for you to serve on Wednesday nights. What other place, what other church can you go to and get cussed out and told that they hate you? And then when you prove your love to them, they can't let go. Amen? There's nothing better than feeding kids who have never had a family meal, sitting down and watching them eat and have friendship and fellowship and hear the gospel. We're going to take this generation back one child at a time right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. So I'm excited about that. God's been doing awesome things, and I can't wait to give you the news at the annual business meeting. If you don't come, I know it's at an abnormal time, but we're going to have it earlier in the morning on the 16th. We're going to provide some food for you to eat, and what we're going to do is we're actually flying in our outside accountant from Colorado to actually do the meeting, and so we want you to be there. I think it's going to be important for you to be here. I think there's information that you're going to want to hear, and so we're going to provide that for you. Amen? All of that. Woo, that was a lot. Somebody who asking where my wife is? My wife is preaching in Oklahoma today. She left on Friday. She preached Friday night, Saturday. She's preaching this morning. And prayerfully, I get her home tomorrow. Amen? Because I haven't even had a hot dog yet. I need a hot dog. Praise the Lord. Also with her is Carla Vischer, and my daughter Corinne is with them. They're out there. And while she was preaching, I guess on Friday night, one of the ladies came up to her after service and said, I'm part of a church of 3,500 in California, and I'm going to have them get in touch with you because our church in California needs to hear about no more hurt. So I thank God what he's doing, and my wife is writing a new book, and you're going to want to get it when it comes out. It's called Not This Time, Devil. How many people give up? The devil starts attacking you, and he's wondering when you're going to give up. I'm sorry, not this time, devil. Oh, that's going to be a good one. I'm excited. I'm going to read it myself. This is the year of Unstoppable, the supernatural church. Shout it out with me. Unstoppable, the supernatural church. That's who we are. That's the theme that God gave us for this year. The amazing part about that is you see two main components. Number one, you are unstoppable. Tell somebody, I am unstoppable. Come on, tell them with some little oomph in your gunzum. Come on, tell them, I am unstoppable. You're unstoppable because you are the supernatural church. Turn to someone and say, I am supernatural. Now listen, I'm not asking for any of you to wear your cape to church. No, that's not what I'm asking. We actually, when we took over Ithaca, when we started the church in Ithaca, the very first week a young man showed up with a sword over his back and a bit long tunic. He was getting ready for his supernatural day. We are not asking you to wear like Superman outfits, but you are supernatural. How many of you realize that you are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body? That's who you are. You are supernatural. Listen, every single human being is eternal. Every one of us. Every person that loves God or hates God is eternal. Everybody's going to be alive for all of eternity. The issue is not that you're alive for all of eternity, for God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, but you and I are going to spend our eternity either with Christ or separated from Christ. And if you're separated, that is called hell as the holding tank, and the lake of fire is the final destination. And the fact is that whether you go to heaven and spend all your eternity with Christ, which is going to be phenomenal, can I have all the believers shout amen? Amen. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and all the folks that you are associated with every day of the week that don't know Christ, that reject salvation, that reject Christ Jesus as their Savior, they will spend all of eternity separated from God, and they're going to be tortured, literally. They're going to be literally tortured for their entire life. Well, why would God send anybody to hell? God sends nobody to hell. We send ourselves. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's given us everything we need to be able to be successful, not only on this earth, but in godliness. You see, Jesus has paid the price. He is the mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Jesus has paid all the debt. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. The fact is that Christ has paid it all. All those who reject the saving knowledge of Jesus will spend eternity away from the Lord. You need to know why you're so important. Because God has called you. Turn to someone and say, God has called you. Tell somebody else, God has called you. God has called you to live in the supernatural so that you and I will have an answer to every man that would ask us according to our faith. Some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But the fact is whether you and I, if we don't grasp who we are, then we're just going to be good religious folk that are hoping to go to heaven. But when we know who we are the supernatural church, we are the unstoppable church, because the God that created the heavens and the earth dwells inside of us. We can't fail. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And in that, we've got to grab a hold of our identity in Jesus. We are unstoppable. We are supernatural. But that also gives us a contrast. You are unstoppable or you are stoppable. You are supernatural or you live more in the natural. This is where the church world at large is. The majority of the church world are not taught about the supernatural. They are not taught about how literally, right now, how many of you love Jesus in the room? The Bible says you have at least four angels. The Bible says his angels encamp around those who love him. So four times everyone who raised their hand, this is a crowded room. Amen. Well, I can't see them. But it doesn't mean they're not there. See, this is the issue with the body of Christ. We have become so normalized that we forget that normal isn't the temporary world, but normal is the spiritual world. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 say it this way, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom of man, but in demonstration. Everybody shout demonstration. Shout supernatural. That's right. Demonstration in the spirit and of power. God's plan is to show he's alive, not just with words, but with deeds. God loves to do miracles. Turn to someone and say, God loves miracles. That's exactly the truth. God loves miracles. And he doesn't want to work miracles through the preacher. He wants to work miracles through all believers. How many of you are a believer in the room? Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. How many of you believe in the room? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any of the things, shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's who you are. You are a supernatural man and woman of God that he wants to manifest his love through, not just with word, but with deed. And God wants to use you to heal the sick. God wants to use you to bind up devils. God wants to use you and speak in other tongues and see the power of God manifest through signs and wonders in your life. This should be normal to us. Shout, the supernatural is normal. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So the real question is, and where we all come in contrast, is do we believe in the supernatural? Now, I want to tell you, there's a whole group of people that are not believers that believe in the supernatural. Those that are involved with witchcraft, those who are involved with psychics, those who are involved with Reiki, those that are involved, and we can go through the list of the different spiritual things that people are involved with, they actually manifest demonic spirits. And I'm talking like it's not a game thing. I'm talking real demons will really show up and really do things that will demonstrate that the supernatural is real. How many times people have come to me and said, Pastor, I need you to come pray for my house. Things are moving around on their own. I don't know. People are opening and closing doors. I talked to one dude. He said, Pastor, I was asleep and I heard a little girl running down the hallway. He was at like a Christian camp. And he said, I heard a little girl running down the hallway. And then the doors are just like the ones at the hotels where when you open them, they open hard. And when they close on their own. He said, all of a sudden, me and this other guy, there was two of them in the room, the door opened and stayed open. He said, I prayed really fast. Because that was not normal, that was supernatural. And so all of a sudden, he got up the next morning after everything was said and done. He said he didn't sleep much at all. And he was leaving, and the camp cleaners came in, Christian camp cleaners came in. This is a local Christian camp, by the way. Came in, and he said, have you ever, like, heard a little girl running down the hall? Oh, you saw her. Well, last I knew, you're supposed to cast out devils, not name them. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Man, I want you to know that the supernatural is real, but so many believers struggle with understanding and or grabbing a hold of truly believing that the supernatural is more real than the natural. The chair you sit on, man, just a few weeks ago we did a thing for groups, and they did, what's that, where they start and stop the music? Musical chairs. And one of the kids, Mo, he destroyed one of those chairs. He jumped on it and it bent, and Mo, come on now, fess up, stand up and tell everybody you confess, hallelujah. Amen, Mo. Mo broke a chair. Well, listen, what are you going to do with that chair? We're throwing it away. What's going to happen? It's going to go to the dump. What's going to happen? It's going to get buried. What's going to happen? It's going to decompose. The metal parts on it, I don't know what's going to happen to them, but they're going to slowly get eaten away, and after years and decades, it'll be disappeared. But I want you to realize everything we see on this earth is temporary, but the things that really matter are the things that are eternal. And the things that are eternal you cannot see because they are in the supernatural realm. But yet many of us bank most of our faith and most of our trust and most of our reliance upon what we can see. The word of God is very clear. I walk by faith and not by sight. But here we are as believers. God does not live in the natural world. So as believers, we've got to learn how to tap into the world of the spirit where God abides. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why some of you feel nothing during worship. Why? Well, because you're not worshiping out of your spirit, you're worshiping out of your mouth. They're just words to you. But when you bring them out of your spirit, man, then you'll find that it will connect with heaven, and God's release of blessing will be upon you, because God is looking for those who worship him out of your spirit, not out of your head. Can I hear an amen? So this is the trial that so many believers struggle with. And if we are unstoppable, the supernatural church, if you're not the supernatural church, then you're the natural church. That's next week's sermon. You don't want to miss it. So here we are as believers. We've got to come to the reality that God lives, releases, and blesses not out of the natural world, but it starts in the supernatural world. Until we realize that, then we are literally tethered by what we can see, touch, feel, and taste. And I want you to realize, if you start living by the flesh or the natural world instead of walking by faith and not by sight, then you're going to be a person that's going to be on this roller coaster, and you are going to hate your relationship with God. Because one minute you're successful, the next minute you're in depression. One minute you're walking in faith, the next minute you're walking in fear. One minute you're praying that God will provide for you, the next minute you're whining because nothing seems to be happening because you can't see it in front of you. The Bible says, call those things which are not as though they already are. The Bible makes the declaration that the only thing that pleases God is faith. Faith pleases God. When we know this, then we know that what we're trying to bring is heaven to earth. We are tapping into the supernatural to bring it to the natural. When we do this, we can't do it the way that we desire. Now, I don't know how many of you remember in the Bible how David, he so desperately wanted to bring the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, back to Jerusalem where it belonged. And so David sent a cart, and he sent the oxen, and he sent the priests. And they went to the house, and they said, we're here to grab the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, the supernatural power of God. And so they loaded it onto the cart, and they started bringing it back to Jerusalem, and it hit a stone, and it started to shake, and a man reached up to steady it. He was just doing a nice thing. But the moment he touched the Ark of the Covenant, he dropped dead. Why? Because you do not touch the presence of God and open in that manner. Well, David was frustrated, and he said, God, I don't get it. I'm trying to do a good thing here. I'm trying to do the right thing here. I'm trying to bring your presence back to Jerusalem where it belongs. And God said it this way. He said, did I tell you to put it on carts made with man's hands? I told you to put it on the shoulder of the priests, for I made man, and I have called you to do it my way, not your way. So some of you are absolutely frustrated in your relationship with God because you're trying to get God to work on your way. God does not work by the natural. He works in the supernatural. So with that, the Bible says that he told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Not key, but keys to the kingdom. And he started talking about spiritual principles. You see, there are principles that are eternal that if you try to open something in the natural, the key just don't fit. And if the church is not going to learn how to live in the supernatural, yes, the Bible says we must occupy till he comes. Yes, we are present on this natural world, but we are not normal people. I preached that last week. Turn to someone and say, you are peculiar. You are a peculiar people. You are a holy nation. Come on now. You are kings and priests. That's who you are. You're not just some normal person walking on the planet. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are part, and the Bible says, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And as a citizen, then you have rights. You have a constitution called the Word of God. And you've got to be able to tap into the constitution to know your rights, and you've got to be able to use them properly. Listen, you can go and you can try to get somebody to do something you want in the government, but if you're not going to do it properly, then how many of you know you're going to have a deaf ear? That's right. Because what's happened is you have to do it right. You have to do it the way the king mandated, not the way the church mandated, or not the way you feel it should be done. Tell somebody, say, your feelings really don't matter.
What do you mean my feelings don't matter?
I'm not a crier. I've never been moved. Like, crying really has never moved me. And I remember when my daughter, Corinne, She cried to try to get make me do something once. And I looked around. That don't work. Try another one. And she just came to me. She figured it out. She probably went to her mother, and her mother told her that you just come to me and you ask me and you're sweet to me. I'll give you whatever you want. I'm a great giver. I love to give, and I love to bless my family. And I love doing that, but you got to know how it's done, because that crying thing just don't work for me. It might work for somebody else, but that don't work for this king. Amen. So you got to know how your king works, and your king does not work in the natural realm. He works in the supernatural realm. Well, I don't understand. Yes, you do, because you are more supernatural than you are natural. How many of you are at least 35 years old? How many of you realize, oh, Jesus, help us all. How many of you realize that you don't run the same way you did at 20? How many of you are 50 years old? How many of you realize you definitely don't run the same way you did at 20? How many men are 60 years old? Men. Great. You know you don't pee the same way you do when those kids come into that stall. I'm telling you right now, when those boys come up to that thing and they start peeing, I just want to punch them in the head. Because things change. Our natural bodies. Come on, our natural body. I'm sorry, I had to do it. My wife's not here, you know. Our natural bodies are changing, but the real you, turn to someone and say, the real you is your spiritual man, and that is maturing from glory to glory, faith to faith. You're building upon the blocks of eternity, and God wants you to grow up. Turn to someone and say, grow up. But you can't be mean saying that now. Don't be mean. The unseen world is more active than the natural world. Like I said, right now, if everyone who said they love the Lord, there are four angels. You know, there was this big thing that we have a guardian angel. We have one angel that's a guardian. That's not biblical. That's a good, actually, they started a religion out of that. And actually, people, it's called angelology. They actually did a study on it. And people worship angels now. It's really unique. They worship the creation rather than the creator. And so what's happened is they don't understand. But the truth is that there are angels. And when you study angels, in the study of angels, you'll find that they're usually about 9 to 10 feet tall. And they are brawn and they are beastly. You just don't want to play with them. They're really powerful creatures. Why? Because they're supernatural creatures. But yet we know that God says that we entertain angels unaware, which means an angel can take on the likeness of a man or a woman. My very first angelic experience where I actually met an angel, it was when I was deciding whether to go to Bible school or not. I was painting. My dad was a professional carpenter, and we were painting, actually, the local elementary school I grew up in. And I was in the first grade classroom with the window open, and my dad was painting the outside of the window, and I was painting the inside of the window. Now, I had a young man that was down the street. He was at the playground, and his name was Tony. And Tony came, he was visiting from California. He was on, you know, his parents had been divorced, and he was out for the summer, and Tony knew nothing about Jesus, nothing about God. We had not talked about God. I was in there painting. I was in there working, but we knew each other. And my dad ran out of paint and needed to go down to the Sherwin-Williams store down in Athol. And he went down, and when he left, a man pulled in like 15, 20 minutes after. Now remember, I'm contemplating, should I go to Bible school or should I not? So here I am, this man, this old guy in his 70s, not that that's old. Say amen. You're close, Matt, aren't you? Okay, let's move on. And so this older guy gets out of his car, and he walks, I've never seen him before, walks over, walks up the ladder, and he goes, hi, Mike, how are you? And I went, good. You know, when you're saying hi to somebody you've never met before who knows your name, your head is going, how does he know me? How does he know me? How does he know me? And he goes, how's your dad? You know, Maurice, and your mom, Janet. And he goes through our family. Goes through their names, and I'm looking at him. I looked at his car. I wanted to memorize what his car looked like. I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really interesting. He goes, yeah, you know, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you today. He walked down off the ladder, got in his car, and drove away. I'm thinking, And then my head said, that could have been an angel. And then Tony comes off the playground. He's about 9 or 10 years old, walks over to the ladder, looks up, and he goes, hey, that could have been an angel, you know. Think of going to Bible school. It's amazing when you realize how the Bible says that the spiritual world is more real than the natural world. You can't see it, but it is more real than where you are right now. In fact, that's where the challenge comes, where all of us are, is we lean so much on the natural that we actually extinguish the supernatural. But the demonic spirits want you to realize that they are very real, and they're working very desperately to make sure that you will believe in somebody that is not Jesus Christ, because they are working desperately right now to be able to draw people away from God with the supernatural. Now, I know people struggle with this, so I just want to give you a quick example. How many of you have ever heard of sound waves? We call them electromagnetic waves. That's radio waves, television waves, microwaves, and there are other types of electromagnetic waves. They're all different, but the only difference of them is the wavelength that they are. So how many of you realize that I'm talking right now? I'm kind of hoping for a lot more hands than that, because that could be very discouraging. How many of you realize that I'm talking right now? Amen. Can you see my words? You hear them, but you can't see them. Some of you hear them better than others, and that's why you need healing. But we're all hearing. We're hearing something that cannot be seen that is leaving my mouth. Isn't it amazing we have trouble believing in God, we have trouble believing in the supernatural, we have trouble believing in angels, we have trouble believing in the supernatural, yet we live this way 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with wavelengths, with sound waves, television waves, electromagnetic waves are present in every aspect of your life. You don't even think about them, but you rely upon them. They're active right now, whether you realize it or not. If you're watching right now by live stream, that's exactly what's happening to you. You're participating with electromagnetic waves all the way through the television, all the way through the internet, all the way into your computer, and now into your ears. It's amazing when we realize how dependent we are on what we cannot see more than what we are. Yeah, when we start talking about God, they look at you like you got 12 heads. Amen. You see, the only way to be able to grab the words that are coming out of my mouth, these sound waves that are leaving my mouth, is that you have to be on the same frequency. Frequency is everything. Frequency determines whether you're going to hear a sound wave, whether you're going to hear or see a sound wave, whether it's going to participate in your life. Everything has to do with the frequency to pull what cannot be seen to what can be seen or heard or experienced in the natural world. Right now, if I turned on a radio, that music is still playing. You just can't hear it because you're not tuned in. That's why the enemy works so hard to keep you out of church, to keep you out of prayer, and to keep you out of his word. Because you're trying to touch the supernatural with your natural man, and it's not on the same frequency. You're wondering why your prayers aren't getting answered. Where's God? Well, God's not lost. So the issue is not God. Come on now. The issue is never God. His promises are yea and amen. So the issue is the frequency. So you turn on the television, and man, what you're seeing is when you first turn it on, all you're seeing is static. But when I was a kid, I was the one who had to, I had to do the wings. Come on now, you know you're old when you understand what I'm talking about. All the children are going, what? What's that? Back in those days, man, you had antennas that were sat on top of your television. And you had to go whoosh, whoosh, and then it didn't work. You had to go get some extra aluminum foil. It wasn't to cook with. Come on, it wasn't to cook with. You made it as long as you could. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Come on now. And then all of a sudden, come on, that didn't work. So you said, hey, child, go hold them. And so you're sitting there behind the television. You can't see the show anymore. And your father's saying, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. Why? He's striving to get the right frequency so that you can see the clear station. If you cannot get in the frequency, you will not hear correctly. And this comes in the supernatural. You see, if we are unstoppable, the supernatural church, then we've got to recognize if we're going to be unstoppable, we've got to learn how to act and live and ascertain from the supernatural power of God. But you can't do that if you're not in the right frequency. This is where some of you are. You're playing church. Playing a little bit of religion, you know, you don't want to go to hell. Come on now, anybody want to go to hell? Come on now, you're crazy. You're smart enough to not want to go to hell. This is not about going to hell. It's not about going to heaven. This is about knowing God. All two of you said amen. I said, this is about knowing God. Amen. Some of you can't understand why you're struggling with the supernatural. The supernatural is not hard. In fact, it's not even far away. Do you remember when Jesus... they were in the upper room. And all of a sudden, you remember Thomas had said like a week before, listen, guys, I didn't see him. If I can't put my hands in his wounds, then I can't buy this thing. So what happened? Well, they're in the upper room, and all of a sudden, the doors are closed, the windows are shut, and Jesus walks through the wall. Hey, guys. And he looks and he goes, what? And Jesus said, come on now. Feel. Touch. Watch this, what he did. Because this man had a challenge with believing the supernatural, Jesus loved him enough to draw him in by releasing his supernatural to the natural. But then he made a declaration. Blessed are those who do not see yet believe. Well, I don't know. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. That is just dumb. I'm not trying to be cruel, but duh. I just proved to you, you live it every day. Well, I don't believe in sound waves. Duh. I don't believe in gravity. Stupid. We all believe in what we cannot see. We live it every single day. If you don't believe that, no, don't do this, but I'm going to say it. When you're driving home, take your hands off the steering wheel, close your eyes. That's right, you're going to have a tree ministry. You believe in principles. But yet when we start talking about God, well, you know, I don't want to be super religious. You're not religious when you understand the supernatural things of God. You are spiritual. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the kingdom. You are one who knows and understands how to take, come on now, you know how to take the laws of God's kingdom and apply them to our everyday life so our natural, come on now, our natural is influenced by the supernatural and God's blessing is upon your life rather than you living from tear to tear, wine to wine, depression to depression. This is all something that is ascertained. You've got to be a receiver. The greatest receiver of heaven is faith. You've got to have faith. You can't afford to activate your receiver called faith when hell is licking your toes. You've got to build your faith before the trouble comes. Can I hear an amen? You've got to be ready before it actually shows up at your doorstep. And as a pastor, I've been doing this 33 years, 1987, 33 years, 30, wow. 33 years I've been in full-time ministry. Listen, some of the saddest things I watch are people get frustrated at God because God's not doing what they tell him to do. The issue has nothing to do with God. You try to explain it to them, well, they won't go to church. They don't pick up the Bible. They pray over their food, maybe. And they can't understand why they can't tap the eternal to come into the natural. We're in the last days. Now, I know you've heard me say that, but I'm telling you right now, we are in the last days. When you study biblical prophecy, we are in the last of the last days. Even England pulling out of the EU is part of the prophetic utterance because of the amount of that are in the EU now have to be diminished down to, my father-in-law was saying, what is it, 12 to 10? I think it's 10, 12, I don't know, one of those. But now we're seeing a diminishing even of the EU. When Brother Tiff was here, he actually proved the Antichrist is alive today. He proved it. Yet the church is still playing and pandering with the supernatural and wondering, where is God? And God is saying, no, I need you. Come on now, soldier. I need you. I can't afford for you to be distracted by the natural thing. I need you. Yes, we've got to occupy till I come. But God has sent you as a missionary to where you work. God has sent you to a missionary to bring the message of the supernatural to the natural world that they will believe that God is alive and not dead. This is not about religion. This is about getting people saved and set free in Jesus' name. Say amen or oh my. I've got to hustle. How many of you got, listen, how many of you remember the TV guide? Don't raise your hand. Now what you do is you click on, I have DirecTV, click on DirecTV, you hit the guide button and it comes up and you can even search and everything like that. It's really awesome, isn't it? And in fact, DVR is my greatest friend. And so here I am, you know, you're learning how to get into the guide because you want to watch certain shows. What's your favorite show? Don't say Grey's Anatomy. We're going to cast the devil out of you. What's that? What's your favorite show? Garfield. I love that child. Chicago Fires. What else? This is us, or them, or somebody else over there. Somebody, yes. Who's about to have a? The Office. My stepfather did not say The Office, I'm telling you. Somebody else. Alaska Bush People. Ah. What's that? Who are dead people? Deputy. It's a new one? I'm going to have to watch that one. I like those kind of shows. What's that? What? Greg, no. Fox, no, no. I haven't seen that one. In fact, you know, the problem is getting to the right channels. Can I hear an amen? Listen, this is the issue with all of us, isn't it? It's getting to the right channel. You turn on the guide to find out where you're going and what time it's going to be shown. Why are you staying out of your Bible? It's the only guide you got. You can't know God's will. You can't know eternal's desire for your life until you open the book. This is your guide. Some of you pick up your Bible once a month. Some of you don't pick it up at all until you come to church. And some of you have never even brought a Bible to church. That's the truth. And the problem that we're having is that you just think it's no big deal. But I'm telling you, it is a big deal because you cannot tune in the right channel. You will never see clearly now, come on now, until your faith rises. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The Bible talks about an example. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to go over it. You can look it up yourself. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. We've talked about this portion before, but it's so powerful. Elisha was a prophet of God, and he had a helper, somebody that worked with him. His name was Gehazi. He was his armor bearer, somebody that served him and blessed him and took care of him. So Elisha, the prophet, had a servant called Gehazi, and they were hanging out in a town called Dotham. Now, what happened was the king of Syria, who hated Israel, they hated Israel so much, he continually tried to destroy Israel, attack Israel. So what he would do is he would sit in his bedchamber with his warlords, and they would start drumming up ideas of how they were going to attack Israel, how they were going to go, and they were going to booby trap Israel. So they start making all these plans. Well, the Bible says that the Lord God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, started speaking to his prophet Elisha and saying, listen, go tell the king of Israel, this is what the king of Syria is going to try to do. Tell him he's going to try to attack him here. He's going to try to ambush him here. Watch out over here. And so he would go and tell the king of Israel, and the king of Israel would go and set a booby trap for Syria. Well, the king of Syria got so stinking mad, and he's there, and he says, who in my chambers is the traitor? I am going to kill you. And a little servant girl, an Israelite, said this, oh, king of Syria, it's not any of your people. It's Elisha the prophet is hearing from God. Well, the king of Syria said, well, I know how to fix this. Let's kill the guy. So he sends his army to Dotham in the nighttime, and he surrounds the city. Now, this is a mighty army. They were known for being mutilators, killers. They were known for destroying and not leaving one alive. They would rape the children. They would kill the parents. They would take everything. They would use all the spoils, and they would grab a hold of it. And all they were there for was one man. His name was Elisha. And the Bible says that morning, Gehazi got up out of bed, and he walked out to wash his face. And when he started washing his face, he looked up, and he saw the Syrian army surrounding Dotham. And I don't know about you, he started freaking out a little bit. He's realizing that this could not be a good situation. And in his natural eyes, that's all he could see. And he's freaking out. Some of you have freaked out over your natural events that are happening in your life. And they are something that a natural person should freak out at. But when you recognize the promises of God are yea and amen, you can start relying upon the kingdom of God and how to bring it from the supernatural to the natural by faith, because God's word cannot lie. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Verse 17, the Bible says that Elisha came out, and Gehazi's freaking. He goes, what's going on, dude? And he goes, look it, they're here to kill us. And Elisha looks up and he goes, don't worry about it, man. There's more for us than against us. And Gehazi's looking at him and said, what's wrong with you? You need glasses? What's wrong with you? Man, did you drink something you shouldn't have last night? What's up with you, man? Can't you see what's here? Can't you see in the natural? Listen, we all see in the natural. That's not the problem. That's not the issue. But as a supernatural man and woman of God, he wants to start teaching you how to see in the supernatural. When Elisha the prophet stepped out there, he wasn't looking in the natural. He was looking in the supernatural. And the Bible says in verse 17 that he prayed for Gehazi. And this is what he prayed. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Immediately, Gehazi looked up and he saw the armies of God more powerful than the armies of Dothan. He saw the angels surrounding even the army that was coming up against him. He saw the supernatural and it was more powerful than the natural. But you see, if you don't tune into the frequency, you'll never see. When all of a sudden you get a bad report from your doctor, all of a sudden you get a bad report from your mortgage company, all of a sudden you get a bad report from a family member, man, the natural is real. But what God wants to teach us, unstoppable, the supernatural church, is that you can call those things which are not as though they already are. If the word says it, it is yea and amen. And you can stand upon God's word and you can have your eyes open. Here's an interesting thought for you. Gehazi is looking up and he's seeing all the natural, right? And then the prophet of God prayed and said, open his eyes that he may see. And he saw the supernatural. You realize that the supernatural didn't appear because his eyes could see? The supernatural was already there and present. It wasn't until the frequency was seen that he could see what was already there. The supernatural is already there. The blessings of God are already there. The miracle of God is already there. The moment you pray it and it's God's will, you can have this confidence in him that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you and that the answer is on the way. Listen, the moment you pray it, God releases it from eternity into the natural realm. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer, as we talked about Daniel. But the fact is simply this, until you get your eyes where they belong, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, until you get into the word of God, until you start praying, man, all you can see is what's in front of you. And that's usually not too encouraging. But I want you to realize that you are not of this world, but that you are foreigners in this location and that you are ambassadors of heaven. And God needs his people to start living in the supernatural, not living and being controlled by the natural realm. What's this got to do with the supernatural church? Everything. Because the church you go to will either be the natural church or the supernatural church. If you're going to a natural church, you will never see a miracle. You won't see people saved. Somebody once said to me, how do I know that the church I'm going to is a good church? Well, it's simple. Does it do what the Bible tells it to do? Are people being saved? Are people being taught, equipped for the work of the ministry, brought to unity and brought to maturity? Are the leaders under some level of authority? A leader that's not under authority is rebellious. And if they're rebellious, then God can't bless them. Because if God blesses a rebellious leader, he's got to bless Satan. People should be getting healed in the church. Just heard a testimony from Brother Carl that a lady in the church got healed of cancer this week. That people are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, because Jesus didn't even start the supernatural church without tongues. Yet we're extracting tongues from the church because we don't want to offend anybody. The gifts of God are without repentance, and it's God's gift to the church. And this gift is for you and for your children and for all those who are called afar off. I'm not ashamed of the supernatural. I'm not ashamed of the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And the church has to start being supernatural. Or you're just going to be a nice little religious people that are sitting in the middle of a cornfield and they'll call you children of the corn. Our job is to make the plans of God open up on earth, to see people's lives change. And whether you like it or not, we talked about it last week. If you weren't in last week's sermon, you need to get a hold of it. You can go online, whether it's on Facebook, you can go online on our YouTube, or go online right on our website. But without you, people are not going to heaven. Well, I'm just a nobody. I don't know who lied to you, but you are somebody to God. And God created you with divine purpose. God created you with divine gifts. And God created you at this exact time and season of this world because God has a purpose for your life. And the issue is not that you're not breathing. Everybody breathing in the house? purpose is why you're breathing. Not if you're breathing, but why you're breathing. And are you living where you're supposed to be living? Oh, I'm not talking, I hate Elmira. I'm not talking Elmira. I'm not talking the county. I'm talking, are you living in the natural or are you living in the supernatural? Are you living the principles of God's kingdom or are you being governed by the principles that are on this earth? We've been given authority on things on the earth, above the earth, and below the earth. And we have the right and the responsibility to walk in them so this world will know that God is alive and not dead. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Bow your heads with me this morning in the name of Jesus. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I don't have a church for you to join. I don't got a religion for you to join. But I want you to know the one who has a plan for your life. We've got to start grabbing a hold of our purpose. The supernatural, God wants you to be with him for eternity. He wants to call you son and daughter. He does not and has not planned for you to be lost and cast into the lake of fire. That will separate you for all of eternity. If you're watching by live stream, I'm talking to you as well. Right now, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you want him in your life. I'm not going to wait long, but you want to give your heart to Christ. You want to start living the supernatural life of God. I want you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that you want to give your heart to Jesus? You want to have your sins forgiven? You want to live in God's plan for your life? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5. Come on, get your hand up. Thank you in the back. 4. If you're not right with God and you know it, you can put it right back down. 5. Thank you very much over there. Sir, I see your hand. Anybody else? 5, 4. Come on. 3. Oh, dear God. Can you imagine if Christ comes right after this service and you were foolish enough not to raise your hand and accept Christ? Well, don't try to scare the hell out of me. I'm trying to scare the hell out of you because you need heaven. God's got a plan for you. Thank you. 3, 2. Come on, get your hand up. Last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Next week, you don't want to miss it. I'm going to show you the difference between a natural church and a supernatural church. This is what God's expectation is of you and I as believers. Now, let me tell you the natural way that this works. How many of you know that you all need a vacation at some point in time? Vacations don't last 3 weeks or you'd be fired from your job. The average American Christian only goes to church once every 3 weeks. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that God is going to rouse you out of your bed, that God is going to get you to cancel some of your foolish things that don't matter so that you can get fed and grow and you'll be a kingdom, devil-stomping, Holy Ghost-filled believer of God, and you will make a difference on this planet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar real quickly. Today, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Can anybody turn to the person next to them and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to give your heart to Christ, I'll go with you. Come on, ask them. Don't assume they know. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to come right out of your chair and meet me right up front right now. Be brave. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before God. Dude, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. I know there's more. Come on, be brave, be brave, be brave. This is your moment. Don't you let fear. We're going to pray with you right here. There you go. Hey, baby girl. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. Come on, don't let heaven outshout you. Come on now. That's your family. They're now your family. Come on now, they're your family. Some of you need to praise like you want your family walking up. Come on, lay the seed down that your family's going to be walking up giving your heart to Christ. Father, I declare in Jesus' name, as you have given me the supernatural authority of heaven to release it on this earth, God, by your Spirit, I thank you, Holy Ghost, that you have called me as the pastor of this house. I thank you that you have placed me in position as the set man. And God, I declare in the name of Jesus a blessing upon your people. I declare that no sickness has a right in their homes. Lord, I declare that they will not be overcome and overwhelmed, but God, they will call on your name and they will live in victory every day this week. I declare in Jesus' name we'll lead at least one soul to you. Bring them to the house of God next week for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody receive and shout it. Amen. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have an awesome week in Christ.